It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
I do want to clarify something. The championship game in the Cup is not a win in your standings. However, the other games are. So everything counts other than the championship game, which doesn't exist as far as the standings. To the Green Bay Packers and as much discussion about the greatness of Edgerrin Cooper as Jason Wilde would like to provide. Good evening, Jason.
Yeah, not even the stats I learned
no.
from Justin Garcia yesterday
Correct.
Going
yeah.
into the game
right.
counts.
It's a preseason game is what it is.
What are we doing?
I think I would assume the NBA is incredibly happy at the acceptance of a exhibition, a preseason game.
Well, so one of the, as you well know, Pausch always looking to improve things.
Great idea.
Playing for a first-round pick that would be after the lottery
yeah,
selection.
Yeah, pick number 15, made. Like in baseball where they add picks, put supplemental yeah. picks in for various reasons. Yeah, great
but,
idea.
But in talking with Justin on our show yesterday, he pointed out that that could create some other issues in terms of the second apron and when you have picks that are frozen versus what would you do that with
correct.
This one?
You can figure
and
that
so
out.
And so his
easy.
Suggestion, mm-hmm. you could, but his suggestion was since this game doesn't count for anyone, the benefit should be that the team that wins, it does count for, which would then mean that they would have one more game played and one more win, which would mean they would win any tiebreaker
yeah.
with another team. Which I thought was a really good idea from him. He's a thoughtful guy, too, might like Pausch. So, you know, again, I think it needs to be worth something more than just, hey, look at this trophy that we won in December, which is not as important as the trophy we're trying to win in June. So that's just
yeah,
a
well,
layman's
it would, view. It would be easy. You would then say that your the key is not number of wins. The key is your winning percentage. Which would be fine. And yes, you know, that the winning percentage, and as I think was probably brought up, you would not make it a loss for the team that lost.
No, correct.
That
right.
would not, it would be not a game. So it gives them,
right.
yeah.
It would still not count for them. Yep.
Right. So they're well, a half
pretty
game
good idea
up.
By Justin.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
I like
but that. Again, okay, the NBA all had the ability to decide this, and they basically decided that they want it to be preseason. Other than that, the poorest players get paid something.
And it's also a nice thing.
Yeah, which, again, is given the amount of money the top players pay or whatever. It's just, you know, I don't. But anyway, the key is that they decided they like this as hard as it is for me to believe because we in all sports understand when you have a game that doesn't count toward a record at any level, it's preseason in any sport, high school, whatever sport. You have a scrimmage or you have preseason or you have exhibition. When you don't count it on someone's record, it's not a real game, even if you give them a cup or give everybody a new house.
Or you can do what UW Green Bay did and play a Division II team.
Oh, yeah, call it no school or...
Nobody you. And then lose to it. Yeah. Less than ideal.
No, he's a piece of work, Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But I'm disappointed.
Very kind way to say it.
I'm disappointed in his performance and the team's performance because I assume he would be a pretty good coach. His dad was a coach. He played for great coaches. You know, I would think he understands it. So they were good last year, and the coach was so good that he bailed to Wyoming, where I think he'd
which
been
is where
system.
He had come from.
Yeah,
right. So, little.
No,
yeah.
no, it was not a shock at Green Bay. I had a guy who I was hoping they would hire, and they didn't. Maybe he'll, John Thorpe, who did a phenomenal job at various places and had coached at Hillsdale, I think, in Michigan. And they decided to get some attention with Gottlieb and let him do his radio show. So.
Yeah, it's been a rough week for Doug between his Twitter dust up with Adam Schefter and then losing to a Division II
right.
team after the
but
nobody you comment.
His nature as a talk show host has always been to be on the edge and periodically irritate people.
I've never listened. I don't know that. I remember, he used to be at ESPN as a college basketball analyst, and that's what I remember him as. And as a player. Obviously.
And so, I mean, I don't want to say he's probably, but he thinks he's right. So, but yeah, he's on the edge, and somebody's almost always mad at him, and now they're mad at him, and now he's the coach, which I don't know how long this will last, how long the school would want to go, especially if they're not winning. Because now, as I've said, and I'd hope you join my club, it's one thing to lose. It's another thing to embarrass. And when you embarrass, there's nothing that's too short to get rid of somebody. And I would say he's getting close to embarrassment.
So, yeah, even if it means having your fourth coach in 4 years, which is not ideal
that doesn't,
either.
Once you embarrass, then everything else is out and no one considers and thinks of anything else. Like, this is our ninth coach in 9 years. Doesn't matter. Whatever has occurred, doesn't matter when you embarrass. Somebody's embarrassed that person is. I think that's what happened to the Bucks situation. Didn't matter how good his record was. I believe the owner of the Bucks was embarrassed in some way with that person as coach, and you're done. So, right or wrong.
Well, Matt LaFleur's not embarrassing anybody. He's maybe a little bit emotional at times.
Really?
I think so. I mean, I know he did his podcast this week, and from what I saw on social media, he mentions that he didn't want that guy that he had the confrontation with in Detroit to lose his season tickets. So maybe that guy's just banned for the year. But yeah,
is classic Matt LaFleur. That is classic.
In that.
Fundamentally, he's a really nice person. Like, I would say what that person did was so far over the top that I wouldn't necessarily have done it, but if the team decided to do it, I don't have any problem with that. But I can see him saying that. Would you say that? Would you have a problem with them getting rid, given what occurred? You can't do that. As I said to the kids, our kids, about some things you can be perfect. You get no pass. That would be
one. I mean, I don't think he gets a pass, but I don't know if the punishment, I think there's probably punishments for that guy that would be a little less punitive. Like, if he's obviously a season ticket holder. The whole thing, I read the Detroit News story about how they give all their season ticket holders the choice of a variety of, kind of like bonus opportunities. And he had chosen to hold the flag on the field before the game. And he had done it once before and done some what he considered good natured trash talking with a different opponent that time, and nothing happened.
He clearly went
bridge too far with the throat slash, which is what really
right. But I would say that additional information is important.
It is, and so my point would just be that I think he should. I don't have any problem with him having his tickets revoked for the rest of the season, and then they could be reinstated for next season.
All right.
But I don't know if you need to kick him out of the building permanently. And, it's one of those things that, he obviously got carried away. So did Matt LaFleur. I think Matt LaFleur would admit that he probably could have kept it a little tamed down a little bit. But the bottom line is, and my point that I was making is that, whether it's him challenging calls that don't need to be challenged, or we've seen him screaming on the headset, there was the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that he got, even though he was in the right. When he couldn't get that timeout in that home game, was it Houston earlier this year? I mean, he has shown a lot of fire on the sideline, and that isn't quite as consistent with his personality as if you, say, saw it from Dan Campbell. So I just thought it was an interesting thing.
Why? Knowing him, following him.
Why is it interesting?
No, why do you think it happens? It's inconsistent with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's ultra competitive, right? And like, while he was willing to kind of put his ego aside when he was dealing with Rodgers, because he was smart and he understood that the best way to get the best out of Rodgers was to not, try to assert yourself as the alpha against him being an alpha. Now, I don't know what exactly went wrong in New York. Maybe it's just gotten to the point where, you know, Rodgers could not be really reined in by it. I don't know. I don't cover that team. But I thought LaFleur always handled him pretty well. Like, he didn't you know, completely turn over the reins of the whole operation, but he kind of understood, okay, I'm willing to kind of swallow my pride and deal with that. And now he just has so much, in my opinion, healthier relationship, working relationship with Love. And we'll see, right? If Love turns out to be as good as Aaron Rodgers, will that change?
He's not coming in years. There's no chance.
No, I know, but you don't know. If he wins
a Super Bowl,
right?
He's even.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even with the other guy too.
Yes.
So yeah, but we're obviously a ways from away from all of that. They have to make sure they take care of the minor league New Orleans Saints.
I will admit, I don't know if you join this club. I'll be disappointed if Jordan Love doesn't win a Super Bowl in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's really hard to win Super Bowls.
It is, but...
And it wouldn't be Jordan Love failing to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay. It would be the Packers while Jordan Love was their quarterback failing to win a Super Bowl in Green
Correct.
Bay.
Correct, though, that you can assess, as you will, and I would ask you, you can assess, was he given a team good enough to win a Super Bowl?
Sure. And you would look at Rodgers and say, you know, that the failures, if you want to call them that, to win Super Bowls in various years after 2010, you know, the failure in 2014 was pretty glaring, obviously, with the meltdown that they had.
Yeah.
Was it Rodgers certainly did not play as well as they needed him to, but there were obviously all the other circumstances.
I hold him to blame for not winning a second.
A
I don't know what percentage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think defense is generally what would stand out more than anything. I would say, given his excellence as a quarterback, I'm at 40% that it was Aaron Rodgers' fault that he didn't win more than one.
That's a good question. I don't know what I'll have to think about that because, like, you know, I would have also liked to have seen Lambeau Field in 2020,
I guess
January of 21, with a full 80,000 Packers fans in the stands as opposed to Tausch and Max, you know, banging on the metal seats because there's only like 2,000 people in the stands for that game. So, I don't know about losing to Brady in the NFC Championship game at home. You know, Rodgers used to always say that he wanted to get a home game in the NFC title game, and he finally gets it.
And Brady game interceptions.
Right? They had every opportunity.
Yeah.
And the reason why, you know, as I learned this morning, I don't think people want to talk about Rodgers at this point, but
I have one question for you. But
it's germane to our question about love, which is, as good as Rodgers was, he never got back. As good as Dan Marino was, he never got back to a second Super Bowl after he lost the one to Montana and the 49ers. As good as Favre was, he went back-to-back and never got back. And not only that, but then he went to another organization and had every opportunity to get
back. And they were a huge favorite against Denver. All right, last quick question. So what happened? You know Aaron Rodgers as well as anyone. I don't even talk about him on the home. But I do want to ask you, because this is a personal thing, because I have no answer. What happened to him?
Yeah, if I had a better answer, I would give it to you.
Okay.
You know, again, I know that there's folks that
I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want to know.
I understand. Yeah, I know. But I do believe that we serve at the pleasure of our fans and our listeners and our readers, and I try to keep that in mind when I do my job. Now, that said, you know, when a three-part docuseries comes out about a guy that won a Super Bowl and won four MVPs while he was the quarterback here, you know, I do think that that's noteworthy, and to pretend it's not happening and just say, well, I'm focused on how they're going to stop Marquez Valdez-Scantling on Monday night, I think that's kind of disingenuous too. But, you know, look, the bottom line is, and I have not had the opportunity, and I don't know when. I don't want to say if, but certainly when, and maybe it's after he's retired. But I mean, there's a lot of things that I would like to talk to him about. And I know that there are people that have very strong feelings on both sides about him. Certain people that are bigger fans of him since he's taken this turn, others that aren't. But I would just say this. He is definitely, and I assume, since I haven't watched it and I'm certainly not in any hurry to watch it, what comes out during this docuseries is him talking about his evolution from who he was to who he is and who he expects to become. Okay. But I would just say this, and as someone that, you know, obviously helped him get connected with John Kerry and the Mac Fund way back when, and seeing him, you know, with Jack Bartos, and seeing him with Jack's older sister Annie after Jack passed away, and seeing him with those kids at those events, like, it was never phony with him. Like, it was really authentic. And, you know, I always thought, despite what the Bob McGinns of the world may have thought of me and my relationship with him, you know, I always thought that we had a very honest relationship where if he played like garbage, I had full ability and authority to point that out. The thing was, he very rarely played that poorly. But more importantly, the guy that he was, you know, he could rub a lot of people the wrong way back then, but he was always very, in my opinion, authentic. And I wish I understood the journey that he's been on better, and maybe that's why I do need to watch this, even though I don't want to. But some of the stuff is hard for me to reconcile with how he used to view things. And the example I gave this morning when people didn't want us talking about this was, you know, when we were doing the show and he got engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Destiny, who he had met while they were in California together. You know, she's wearing a big engagement ring during one of Jordan's games at Vanderbilt. And, you know, the following Tuesday, he don't want to talk about it. It's his private life. It's private, stays private. So he was willing to talk about, you know, Law and Order and Alex Trebek and all the other wacky things we used to talk about. But his personal life was personal. And I never envisioned him being part of a 3-part documentary on himself, right? Like, I always thought there was a separation there. So that's just one example. And for him to, you know, not to say that he was like Michael Jordan in Jordan famously saying, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too. I never thought that he would wade into a lot of the controversial things that, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, you have to acknowledge they're controversial. And yep, he chose to do that too. So those are all things that I don't fully grasp. And, you know, someday I hope we have a really long time to talk about those things. But, you know, again, my biggest frustration, and I'll leave it at this, is because, you know, Ian O'Connor's book came out a couple months ago. I haven't read that either. I had a friend of mine send me the section in which it talked about the day that we did our show together, and there was all these rumors about him being gay. And the fact that he mistells the story really bothered me at the time, because he and I were both on the right side of history at the time. And instead it got bungled by the Packers PR representative that was in charge of him at the time. And so instead of him saying what he wanted to, that I'm not gay, but if I was, these people are making it seem like I should be ashamed of who I am. So imagine if that is who you are, and these people who don't even know you want you to be ashamed of who you are. That's the guy that I always had a ton of respect for.
No, that's the guy I knew. And that's why, I'm curious to hear you say these things, because, my relationship is nothing, and I don't know what it was at some point, but I liked everything about him, and now I still like him, but my favorite line, I don't know why. I can't, you know, like, but why? I go, I can't. Somebody who does the things I observe,
tell you why.
It's impossible. That's a part of who he is, and I can't forget it.
I can tell you why, and that is, and it's probably the same for both of us and for John, now, even though he's retired from the Mac Fund, and I know he still sends Aaron notes like he did every week during those days. It's because we still remember who he was, and whether it's, and again, it's not our place to decide whether he should be that guy again, right? It's his life. He gets to choose to live it however he wants. But I think for those of us that knew him well then, I think we all still harbor those memories of that guy and hold out the hope that while he's not that guy now, that those parts of who he was then will resurface. The story that I love, and I was thinking about this when, you know, Jordan Love took a bunch of kids shopping at Dick's Sporting Goods a week or two ago, and Dick's Sporting Goods sent out press releases and there were TV cameras there and everything else, which is great, right? That's still a good thing. I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but, you know, Rodgers did that for a couple of years up here and didn't tell a soul. And like, and took the kids shopping for other people so they could go, you know, an 8-year-old kid who wouldn't have that opportunity otherwise could go buy gifts for his sisters or brothers or mom or dad or grandparents. And he never publicized it. The only reason I knew about it was somebody else told me about it. He never even told me about it. And again, those are the things about him that make it then difficult for me with the relationship I've had with him. And we still have one. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to define it necessarily at this point, but we still correspond. But it just makes it hard to reconcile what look, I took a lot of, and again, I know you told me not to worry about what people think. I took a lot of grief today for how what I said. There were a few people that were supportive. But look, this is not like, I want to be clear, this is not an act for me. I'm just trying to be really honest about how I feel about him and about, so it's not me shirking my journalistic responsibilities. If he was the Packers quarterback still, you're damn right I would watch it whether I wanted to or not, because I feel like that's my responsibility. He is not the Packers quarterback now, and so I don't feel like I have to watch it if I don't want to. Yeah. But it is difficult for me. And I'm just, I hope people can respect, like, for better or for worse, I think the one thing you always get from me is authenticity. And that doesn't always do me a whole lot of favors, but at least I can look myself in the mirror. And so when I say that this is difficult for me and that I miss the guy that he was, and I miss the guy that, you know, hid under our guest room bed playing hide and seek with the girls, or the guy who slipped on our basement connected flooring, and I thought, oh my God, he's going to blow out his ACL in my basement. How the hell am I going to explain that? I mean, that's the guy that I consider a friend, and that I took a lot of crap from certain beat writers for having that kind of relationship with a player that I never sought. I mean, you know, people forget, and you know this because you were there, the plan was for you to host the show with him, and you guys did one show, and it sucked because he was a knob about it. And Craig Karmazin made me do it, and I'm so glad he did. But, you know, I just, again, this has gone on way too long, but the fact of the matter is I do hope that someday the glimpses of who he once was, while he still goes on this journey to figure out who he is now, can come out more frequently. Because that guy would not have gone on McAfee and said some of the things he said about Ryan Clark. There's a combativeness to him that I don't remember there being previously, and kind of an edge to him that I want to see him. I just want to see him happy, as cliche as that sounds. And I think getting back to some of the things that he used to be might help that.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time.